Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thank you very much for being part of my day and allowing me to be part of yours. My website is www.jbsba.com. Alan Friedman is our guest and our good friend. He's the author of a number of books, including the Computer Desktop Encyclopedia, which is not only a book, it's not only a CD, it's a whole way of delivering valuable information to a whole system of delivering this technology information to people like you and me. And he's our good friend. Alan, welcome back.
Thanks, Jim. Pleasure.
It's good to have you back on the show. Alan, and by the way, folks, Alan, in case you haven't been here before when Alan was here, Alan's one of our top technology guys, and he joins us from time to time just to talk to us about the technology that's out there in our environment and some of the good, the bad, and the ugly that we have to deal with. Speaking of the ugly and the bad, let's talk about spam for a minute.
Oh, God.
Spam is absolutely unbelievable. I came in this morning, and I'm going to estimate that I had, just from last night, just from having, you know, put my computer to sleep last night, I probably had minimum 40 to 50 spam.
Oh, you're lucky.
Minimum. May have been more. I don't know. I just know that it was a lot, but dozens of spam. And not one single one of them is even close to anything that I'd be interested in.
Well, you know, what's irritating is the other day I religiously, for an entire day, opted out of everything I got.
Yeah.
Somebody said that would work. I think it made it worse.
Well, see, I know it. And that's what that's the reason I haven't done that. And I haven't done it. I haven't done a good job of filtering this, and we're working on that right now to try to filter my spam a little bit better. But there actually are filters up, and I'm still getting that kind of spam. But the thing is that what you were talking about opting out, in years ago, people said to me, if you send them an unsubscribe, that identifies you to them.
I'm almost beginning to believe it.
And now, the only thing in other words, what they used to say was that it happened, they would only send you one, and if you didn't respond, then they wouldn't know you were there, so to speak, and they might not send them back. But I get the same ones over and over again.
So do I. So it obviously doesn't work. And you know, the big problem is people are obviously purchasing something because it's so cheap to send it. If people would stop buying from it, people would stop sending spam. But people, even if it's a fraction of 1%, a fraction of a fraction of 1%, it's still cheaper than any other method. And that's why it's continuing.
It's free. Well, the thing that's going to happen is the spammers are going to create problems for a lot of the rest of us, because the more people complain about spam to their congressmen and senators, the more they're going to feel compelled to do something about it. And the next thing you know, we're going to have a toll on email.
Well, it may be. I don't know if that's what it takes. I'll tell you, if it takes paying a nickel for every real email, it may just turn out to be that. I don't know.
Well, what we need to do, I think we need to let technology solve this problem. We all need to do a better job of doing a filtering. Somebody's out there working on, if they haven't already identified it, and of course that's one of the reasons that you're here, Alan, is to tell us what kind of great technology we should have. But before we talk about the technology, I want to dramatize the size of this problem. As most of us know, AOL is only one dial-up company. Now, they're the big one, right? But they're only one. There are thousands more. But every night, AOL filters up to 800 million spam. And about 2 weeks ago, I was told on one Thursday night, they did a billion that night.
Is that right?
Spam may actually take AOL down.
Well, Well, it may take quite a few ISPs.
Well, yeah, and so I mean that, but that's how bad the situation has gotten. Yeah. The sheer numbers is blowing, and of course, as you know, AOL has difficulty delivering regular mail, good mail, because of the spam.
But it has to be done at the ISP. It's too much processing to be done at your site. You can get all kinds of spam blockers.
Mm-hmm.
But it will slow you down tremendously, and it won't be as effective
right.
as what they're doing at the ISPs, because they're getting addresses all the time that are
right.
valid spammer addresses,
mm-hmm.
and they're checking them.
When we come back, we're going to talk about how spam hurts people like me and perhaps you who distribute to opt-in people, opt-in customers. And it does. It creates a problem. And then we're going to move on and talk about a couple of other things with our good friend Alan Friedman. 22. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Coming up in the next hour, I'm going to talk to you for a little while. I've got a few things I want to say at the beginning of the next hour. And then after me, we're going to be visiting with our good friend Skip Miller. And he's going to help us hire and interview and hire good salespeople, how to find the good ones and how to interview them, make sure that you're hiring the right one, and then when you get them, what to do with them. That's coming up in the next hour, and I'll tell you about the rest of the days ahead in a little bit later on. Alan Friedman is our guest. He's the author of Computer Desktop Encyclopedia. Alan, give us your website, please.
It's computerlanguage.com.
Computerlanguage.com. And folks, as you probably know, Alan is the world's computer lexicographer. He's the guy that the world goes to for definitions about technology, and that's what the Computer Desktop Encyclopedia is. And so I recommend you check it out. You can buy it from him. You can buy it, the book with the CD in the back at bookstores, and the last name is spelled F-R-E-E-D-M-A-N, Alan, A-L-A-N, Friedman. And so check that out when you get a chance. Alan, we were talking about spam, and I was saying as we went to the break about how the ISP's attempts to control spam can actually hurt legitimate opt-in mailers, emailers, like me. I have several thousand people subscribed to my newsletter, but some ISPs will see me sending that out to a number of their subscribers. And sometimes they've set their anti-spam screen, so to speak, to the point where it thinks my email is spam when nobody gets my email newsletter who hasn't told me they want it.
I know. That's a problem. It really depends on how they do it. The ones that are more precise and the more painstaking ones are those that are actually looking at specific addresses, which, of course, are changing all the time because the spammers realize that their addresses are on the list. And they just create new ones,
right?
And it is an awful problem. There's got to be some legislation. In fact, there is legislation pending in the government to do something about it.
But that's what frightens me, though, Alan.
Well, you got to have something, because email is an incredible thing.
But Alan, I know you're a smart guy. You don't really think the government will be able to effectively solve this, do you?
Well, they'll be able to take care of the ones that are in this country. The big problem is the Internet is global, and
yeah.
people can move offshore, and, so what then? It's a big problem. The only way to solve it is, truthfully, is the real way anything gets solved is by the individual. Stop
mm-hmm.
buying.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Stop buying from the spam.
Have you ever met anybody who actually does that, who would admit to doing business with a spammer?
Yes, I have. I almost bought something once. Sometimes all you're really getting is a link, and when you get to a link, you go to a site, and that's all it takes.
Right.
And there might be something interesting, and there might be many other things on the site.
The last thing in the world I would do, if I were anybody, is click on a link on somebody's spam. That's the last thing in the world I would do.
It's good advice.
I'm telling you, it'd be like stepping into a petri dish to me, to hit a link from a piece of spam.
Well, I have a word of advice though for everybody that sends out email, and that is to make sure your subject is very clear. because that's the way most people delete their email. They look at the subject line and just keep deleting, deleting, deleting.
Right.
And if the subject line is a little vague, I have deleted very good emails that I was expecting because the subject line was unclear. So that's something you might want to tell everybody. From now on, the only way we're going to be able to slog through it is to make our subject lines really, and I hate to say personal because it's the personal the tricks that people get, you know, hey, I just talked to you yesterday
right.
or something like that. But it's got to be something that's very specific, and this is why I'm calling and mention the thing that you're talking about, not just, hey, here's something I want you to see.
Well, usually people recognize your from line, and that's one of the things that I usually pay attention to. But you made a good point a minute ago, because sometimes, unfortunately, and I talk about this at least once a week with somebody, in our attempt to delete a whole slew of spam, somebody's, like, you know, something from you or something from me will get embedded in the middle of that, and we accidentally delete something really that we needed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another irritating thing about spam.
Very.
But it's an interesting thing that we got to deal with, and you know, it's they're taking advantage of what makes email so productive for all of us. But the problem is they're abusing the system. The spammers are abusing the system, and they're making a very wonderful tool into something that could be potentially unproductive.
That's correct.
Let's move over and talk about broadband. I got an interesting piece of news today, Alan, not today, but this week, from the folks at Kiplinger. You and I have reported on how, over the years, on how big a deal it is that everybody gets hooked up to broadband and have the big pipes coming into their homes, into their offices. And, you know, I said 5 years ago that when the default connectivity for most Americans is the big pipes, is DSL or cable, the world will change. I said that over 5 years ago, and I still believe that. Well,
okay.
As of a year ago, only about 12% of Americans had actually connected up to the big pipes. But according to Kiplinger, they're saying that by next year, that number will go to 45%. That's a big jump in a 24-month period.
That's a huge jump. I'm surprised at that number.
Well, that's the number they gave us.
Actually, if that's anywhere near true.
45%, and they got that from some folks who should know. When we come back, we're going to – Alan and I are just going to sort of muse about what all this could mean to the marketplace and to our culture if more of us were connected to broadband. Tin Tilt, stay with us. We'll be right back.
What would you do if I sang out of tune?
We're back at 7 till. Alan Friedman is our guest and our good friend and the author of Computer Desktop Encyclopedia. And the website is computerlanguage.com. Check it out when you get a chance. If you want to see what a computer desktop encyclopedia looks like, you can go to his website and give it a test drive there. And a lot of different products and things that he offers on the site that I recommend you check out. And pick up the book when you get to a bookstore. And look, the CD is still in the back of the book, isn't it, Alan?
It still is.
All right. Now, what are we working on now? Version 16 point what?
16.2 is shipping this week.
Okay, because I got 16.1 in front of me.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Well, you'll get 16.2 probably in a couple of days.
Okay, good deal. What do we got, about 15,000 definitions?
17,000.
17,000, and including diagrams and graphics and everything too, right?
That would be 20,000 altogether.
20,000, all right. It just gets better and better, folks. Alan, let's talk about what broadband connectivity could do to the marketplace. What could it mean if more people, when 45% of the households are, almost half are connected, and when we say households, folks, that's not counting the businesses, this is just the households, what could that mean to online shopping?
Oh, I think it's going to be a tremendous boost to online shopping, because people are going to not going to have the worldwide wait, analog modems were great, but they're just too slow. And, you know, we're Americans. We don't have the patience. The truth of the matter is, on a broadband link, the web, it just opens up. It flowers into an incredible resource. When you have to wait for every single page to come popping in slowly but surely, you lose patience. You don't explore as much as possible. I think online shopping is going to be boom.
Well, and the other thing is that it will impact. Well, let me say this: the people who provide you with websites today, folks, they're always designing. What do they call it? Designing backwards. What's the word? There's a term for that. I always forget it, Alan. But they're designing backwards, meaning if you have the best, if you have a hotshot computer and you've got big pipes coming into your computer, you're not getting
the backward compatibility.
That's it. That's the
right
term.
Right. Yeah. Because
yeah, backward compatibility. Right. You're not getting the maximum capability that's available technologically, folks. Right now, you're getting the capability that somebody one or two generations of equipment and connectivity behind you have.
Depends on the application, but we always have to keep in mind that there are millions and millions of users out there that have analog modems. So that's a
right.
That's a major criterion.
So the more people who get connected, the more likely we are to have a lot cooler things to use and tools. I mean, there's so many tools that the techies have that they've developed that you and I haven't even seen because a lot of people are still using the analog and the regular dial-up.
Well, you know what will also open up are just client-server applications where you'll really be able to store your applications on the
right.
Internet and run them as if the Internet were your local network.
ASPs.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Application
right.
Service off too.
Providers and where you will leave a lot of your, as you say, leave a lot of your files actually in somebody else's servers, a lot of the things that you'll do.
Right.
What are some other, what about entertainment?
Well, entertainment in the form of widescreen, full-screen movies. Of course, when that all comes about, the Internet will get clogged down again. But but that's just sitting there in the background just waiting, you know, that we've been talking about that for so long.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't have what the, you know, the fat pipes. And that's just, I think it's going to explode in every direction, shopping, entertainment, applications. We're banking our future on broadband because we're in the right now beta testing our Windows interface
mm-hmm.
online, and when people have high speed, they won't have any problem. Nobody
mm-hmm.
will say, oh, this is too slow.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people are sitting around waiting for this, and 2-3 years is going to be a different world.
What about wireless? How is wireless going to fit into all this? I now have a wireless area network in my office, and I have one computer that's wireless.
Well, it means you'll be able to take your portable computer and sit in a coffee shop and have the same access to the Internet as you did when you were in your home or office.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to open that up as well. It'll all come about, I think, at the same time. I think we're looking at a 3-year period here.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
To help the technology world, we need a boost of economy here. So
yeah,
it's a good thing.
Maybe this will help that happen.
I think so.
Alan, good job today. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Alan Friedman, ladies and gentlemen, Computer Desktop Encyclopedia is the book and the CD and the program, the whole system, and computerlanguage.com is his website. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every single member of our military standing a post on our behalf around the world. God be with you. God bless you. We are definitely very proud of you. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.